Sir Alan has set Elton John his first task: to re-record his Candle in the Wind classic for a modern audience. But Sir Alan is not liking the progress on it so far.
Goodbye, England's rose. May you ever...
This is total garbage. Absolute garbage. Not very interesting.
Where lives were torn apart. You called out to our country.
Total piece of rubbish.
And you whispered...
I think I've heard enough. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Elton John... Welcome to my boardroom.
One of the most spectacular plant houses in the world.
Believe it or not.
It's worth over £3.5.
Proud of your product? Right, well, Elton John, while you've been away having your chat, I've been having a look at this Candle in the Wind. Well, I don't know what to call it, really. What the hell's gone wrong here? Anybody with half a brain cell would think to themselves, total rubbish, simple as that.
Maybe it's an enduring lack of confidence in your abilities.
No creativity, no design in it whatsoever. Your material was total rubbish.
I felt like I was in nursery school, being patronised and lectured.
Funny if it was in the middle of a Harry Enfield show. I'll give you that.
What I don't understand is the lack of logic.
Right, I'm not going to waste any more time on this. Candle in the Wind. Lousy, rotten. It would have stood out if it was on the fertiliser shelf or the cat food. That's where it would have stood out. Yeah. I don't know if this bleeding thing's gone to your head or what. One swallow don't make a summer. And you ain't done that great. Elton John.
Are you going to have another drink?
Why shouldn't I fire you?
I could still snort you under the table.
I think you're the Cassandra of the team, frankly. Do you know what that means? You get it right and nobody else listens. They don't believe you.
I have a dilemma here. Either you have superior intelligence or you're just a bit of a troublemaker. It don't look too great for you. There's a taxi driver outside already typing your address in his sat-nav. You're well and truly on the ropes. Elton John, you are so close to going out that door. You got Margaret to thank, who's put that glimmer of doubt in my mind. You were so far out that door, you don't know, okay? Go back to the penthouse. Candle in the Wind was the thing that was always going to win the day. Nick is going to give you a private recital.
There's a basic flaw there, isn't there?
Goodbye, England's rose. May you ever grow in our hearts. You wear the grace that place itself where lives were torn apart.
Sketchbook. Next Monday at 8:30. One of the world's most important celebrity couples have announced their decision to split up. Katie Price and Peter Andre were married for less than years, and now they no longer will be. They have children. What will it mean for them? What will it mean for their adoring fans? And could their private lives now be even more invaded by crazed paparazzi photographers like me? Join me at 8:30 for an extended panorama special, The Demise of Katie and Peter. What is the world coming to?
Soundtrack radio shows on oneradio.org. Music.
Who's a cousin as good as this in my day?
Look out in the oneradio.org schedules for the forgotten gems.
Oneradio.org.
Soundtrack's greatest hits and programs with STR.
Écoutez STS
Soundtrack Radio.
STR Radio. You're with STR for this night. Next, it's a Madness episode premiere. The world leader finds himself up in space, oh my. And then, in 30 minutes, it's an interview with Laurie Sherlock about Geocities. on Late Night Radio. The next programme is uncut. It contains strong language. Some people may find some parts offensive.
Madness.
Episode 81. The Invasion of Mars.
Duh, have we still got that spacecraft from when we went to the moon?
Unfortunately, the answer is no, world leader. It became one of the many asteroids when we hurtled back into the atmosphere. As far as I can recall, it's somewhere in the mid-Pacific now.
Maybe that was what that big metal hunk was that we saw near Atlantis.
Yes, world leader. In fact, it was. I didn't want to say anything at the time. I did, however, enter it with my diving suit to get my watch back that I lost underwater.
Was the watch waterproof?
Yes, to a depth of 3 miles, apparently.
But was it smash-proof?
Why do you say was it, sir?
Because it's about to be smashed into 1,000 smithereens for lying to me. I want to know exactly where you are at all times.
Where do you think I am now?
At home, talking to me on the phone.
No, I'm in a bar, looking over some blueprints.
In that case, I just want to let you know that you left your PDA here when you last visited. It doesn't connect on the internet anymore. It's lucky to be connected to its screen.
I might still have to be humble as stipulated in my contract. But may I ask, why have you ended my PDA?
Because you have lied again. When I speak to you on the phone, I expect you to be where I think the phone is. As it is now, you are committing a deception.
Should I come over and apologise? Take the PDA off your hands. I might be able to fix it in my lab.
No, I think you should go home and think about what you have done, and then build me a spaceship.
In my flat? Should I not go to the airport and build it?
Yes. I'll phone the airport and put all flights on hold that are leaving Iraq. So-called businessmen will have to limit their clientele to the major Iraqi towns, and everyone else is restricted anyway. We are going on a space mission.
What's this? Space again? You're absolutely thick as horseshite, son. You went up there once, and you were looking to come down again, but most of where you went did.
Don't worry, Mother. Mr. Dodd is more than capable. He has, after all, the fear of his life running in him, what with the completion of every job. We have a score to settle. The last mission was a catastrophic failure.
You mean for the environment? The skies used to be red just at sunset. But now it's all day?
No, I don't give a shit about the environment. You know that. As long as this planet still has the resources to take it, it's all fine with me. No, I mean that we didn't capture half the territory.
Why? Was the moon not enough for you? You've got to be the most spoiled despot that it's ever lived.
No, it's not enough. If this Earth has a limited lifespan, we need to establish a segment of the Iraqi Empire somewhere else. In some parts of Iraq, there are more nuclear weapons than handguns. I don't feel safe. We need a planet for the most revered leaders and dignitaries to escape to, should the Earth ever count out to global warming. And now there's no place better than the most red planet of them all. Mars.
24 hours later.
Dodd, are you still at the airport?
Yes, world leader. It's good news. I've finished the project. I only needed 12 hours as it happened. But then, while I was lounging inside the spacecraft on a sunbed, some angry businessmen began to arrive at the airport, throwing their briefcases at me.
I hope this isn't some kind of trick, Dodd.
A trick? Why would I spin that?
Oh, it's nothing, Dodd. Why should I worry? You're only the Empire's chief technical advisor and inventor. It's not like you have to get anything right. The last spaceship you gave me was almost older than Neil Armstrong himself. 30 years old. Older than the planes in the airport have to be.
That's because it was from NASA, sir. And it was made just as Barney Rubble was shaking hands with Fred Flintstone for the first time. But don't worry, I have instead taken apart some nearby planes as parts for our mission.
You fuckwit! I was planning to launch some airstrikes today.
Why? Everywhere's sufficiently conquered.
It's not your place to ask why, Dodd. Never has been. But it was just for something to do to keep people who live more than 1,000 miles away from me on their toes. Some groups of people in so-called nations think that just because they are far removed from my leadership in Baghdad, that they can just ignore elements of my regime at will. But I find that usually, When they are looking through a wrecked fuselage through recently shattered glass, it tends to correct the problem.
When do you want the spaceship delivered?
Nowhere, because we'll be taking off from nearby the airport. Vulcan will drive. He hasn't had lessons, you know.
You mean we're not taking it to NASA headquarters?
It's the ISA, the Iraqi Space Agency now, Dodd. No, there's a perfectly good expressway heading out the airport.
I'm sorry to have to report this, sir, but it's an emergency. There is a crisis at the airport. The citizens I have in captivity are telling me that there is a riot outside the airport gates. They are calling it a strike. They are, quote, fed up with every routine flight being just as routinely hijacked and the airport being operated more like a bus station, with planes often running hopelessly late like the Iraqi buses, and often failing to stop. No Islamic businessman can get to Iran and Saudi Arabia today in order to conduct their evangelism.
Don't you mean the astronauts have formed a mini-riot, Hamid? Really, we could have a crew as big as this time.
But I have only booked experienced personnel on this mission, sir, and I must say
Well, you'd better unbook them, hadn't you? Because, frankly, these striking rioters are cheap. Well, they're alive, Shelby. The citizens outside the airport gates are going to get an experience as well. Perhaps they'll think twice about striking after this. As for them, they're already on strike 3. Another one and they're out.
Hang your coat up, Hammett!
No, it'll be okay, Mother. I'm only staying for a minute.
Vulcan hasn't arrived yet, so make yourself at home.
Okay, sir, I'll just put my feet on the sofa.
Get off that 50,000-point sofa! You shouldn't listen to every word I say. Stop taking me literally. If it's not an order, so I'll rephrase that. Make yourself at home with the rules of the palace.
Yes! There's no walking in off the street with muddy feet! If your shoes have cack on them, you better take your socks off as well.
I ask visitors to scrape their shoes on the street outside, so we don't end up with cack on the drive as well.
Oh, good afternoon, Saddam. I'm sorry I'm late. I had to take a diversion through a field. When is the mission?
Thank God, Vulcan, or rather Allah, that you asked that. It's any minute now. I can't wait to be out of this dump that many citizens call a palace. They only call it that because their homes are made of mud, whereas I merely tread it into mine.
Well, is that what you think of it, son? Well, seeing as you've done your chores for today, I don't need you. So you might as well just fuck off up to space, for all I care. And don't think that while you're floating around up there that I'll be doing your chores for tomorrow. Personally, I'll just be watching Neighbours, which now is an omnibus, while plates overflow in the sink. And dust gathers on the shelves. On all your hoo-hoos and dictators' mundries you got stacked up there. And you know that bedroom of yours with all the clothes on the floor. And don't count on me washing them some, but I will be clearing them. So put that in your bed and sleep on it.
So I take it, Mother, you'll not be wishing me luck on this mission then. For your information, I don't change bedrooms anymore. That was when I was constantly evading assassins in my dreams every night, who were willing to take a pop out of me.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, son. More people today want you dead than they ever did before.
Well, those people are often finding themselves as dead before I do. I'll never fall out of power, any more than that they will ever see daylight as freed from outside a prison, or life as seen freed from a hangman's noose.
Oh, well, I can't be bothered to argue, so just blast off now and take your friends with you. They can take their mud to Mars and see how the Martians like it.
We're doing just that, for your information. And as mud is always teeming with life and bacteria, I'm sure you will be most welcome.
But you're never down to Earth. When you invade, won't you just stay there?
We might move there. Okay, team, we have a mission to do. And really, I'm not a patient man. We don't have the time for the kind of preparations we had when we invaded Australia.
But that took several attempts.
Yes, I remember that invasion. It was so crap that people still had tickets to the Sydney Opera House whilst tanks were rolling into the city in the midst of war.
Will there be a countdown for this mission, Saddam?
Yes, there will. On my Casio watch, on the iRoute 56.
But that'll be inaccurate, sir. And shouldn't we clear the roads?
I think you'll find it to be very much rush hour.
The traffic will soon disperse. We'll be like a very big cone.
And what about the TV? Is our launch being covered?
This is a secret hush-hush mission, Hamid. Even when we invade Mars, citizens will find themselves secretly abducted to go and work there, should we not find any intelligent life.
Outside the airport?
Okay, Dodd, where's the spaceship? Does it actually work?
I'm not sure, but I think so. I haven't tested it or anything. It's all theory.
I don't like the sound of that.
If you must know, I didn't test it. I just built it. That's all I could do in 12 hours.
You mean like you tested that fucking time machine? We all know what happened to that. Your work for this mission and your scientific credentials for the Empire are starting to get a bit shit and cretinous.
But the time machine did used to work, until you went and put a cog in its works.
I can't believe I'm trusting you on this. You could stick us in neutral outside the Earth and get us suspended in space like that time machine could have done. Sometimes I just think to myself I should go and capture somebody else. And then I realise nobody's allowed to learn anything anymore in this Empire. So they'd be even more useless than you. Kind of like a chocolate teapot scientific cretin, if you will.
Let's start the engine, Saddam.
Where is the ship?
In the fuselage.
But there are rioting and striking workers out there, Dodd. How do you know they haven't wrecked it while you've been gone? You haven't let wind of this little trip of ours, have you?
No, I just said that it was needed for the Empire, to have a little space.
Just for that, Brian, I'm going to recruit another scientist to come on board, and you can be left wondering whether you'll be let go in space throughout the entire mission. Vulcan, you're needed by the workers. Workers, I'm here to meet your demands. This airport will be reopened after we have conquered space. But I need a favour from you. Not that you have any choice about it, really. So it's really more of a duty. Now, don't complain that you haven't had any training as astronauts. Vulcan can give you that while you're on board. You'll each be given a manual detailing how to behave in space. No floating around or peering out of the windows. And when we reach the planet we're travelling to, we will let you know. Until then, sit tight on the spaceship and do your chores.
Your leader, Sultan Saddam Hussein, doesn't want any more rioting. Consider yourselves astronauts now. If and when you survive up in space, you will all be reinstated in your jobs at the airport at half pay for the first month.
In case you're wondering, which is dangerous in itself, your pay will be deducted to cover the expenses of us dealing with your riot. We will have to build new runways, and as the army tanks that came made the present ones too uneven. I had to make a phone call to the army, and tanks are not cheap, you know. Well, now they'll be used on board ship when we explore Mars.
Sir, I think we should blast off shortly. The spaceship may begin to fall apart within the next 48 hours. We really need to get this mission over and done with.
Right you are, Dodd. I never thought I'd hear myself say that. The launch detail, citizens, is that while ordinary traffic is driving on the I-56 into Baghdad, after a count of 10, a spaceship will join the rest of your workmates and citizens driving home on the expressway at 5 p.m. Some of them, of course, will be driving fast to get home in time for their curfews. And then, without warning to the cars at least, our ship will unexpectedly leave the road and start to veer in a generally upward direction on a more and more vertically orientated slip road.
I always wondered what that was for. I knew it wasn't for skateboarders.
Yes, Dodd, just for your information, I didn't purposely set out in my right mind to make the expressway to a level of Tony Hawk's, but there are now as many skateboarders as there are beggars in the prison that happens to be built nearest the slip road.
Sir, I have set the launch. It is within the half hour.
Workers, take off your airport uniforms and put on these ex-NASA suits. You can't breathe in them, but for some reason only known to Mr. Dodd, you'll survive in space. Now let's not waste a moment longer. I'd like to see your keisters get inside that spaceship.
Wait, Neil Armstrong isn't here.
What is it, Vulcan? Your kidnappings are getting slower these days.
Remind me again why we need him.
I suppose he'd be the only astronaut on board with any real experience.
Well, what about the citizens from the last mission? Could we not reuse them?
Well, they never made it. And even if they did, I couldn't remember who they were anyway.
The secret police are here now, sir. They have Neil Armstrong in tow.
What time do you call this? Take one small step into the ship now, or we'll really be late for mankind.
On a busy motorway with Iraqi taxis blasting their horns and avoiding each other.
When do we blast off?
Could we pull into the services first? I need to pee. Can't you wait until we're in space?
Then it will be the first water on the planet in millions of years.
But doesn't the spaceship have toilets on board?
Well, no, for some reason they don't. We knocked them out to fit bigger engines. NASA had designed suits that allowed the astronauts to do their business in them.
Even for a number two?
Well, I can't think of any other reason for the lunchbox-looking compartment between the leg areas.
Pipe down, we're about to take off. I'll do the honours. 10, 9, 8. Yes, all right, Dart, just fucking take off.
Somewhere above the Earth, high above the atmosphere.
I was just wondering, sir, are we dropping in on the moon for a second time?
Well, Neil, Armstrong, what a beat a visit. I was all for it when it looked like a golf ball, but now it looks just like a broken biscuit.
We were thinking of basing a space station and colony there, and then we realised that what was left of it was barely bigger than the Netherlands.
Yes, as we go past the moon, I'd advise you all to ignore it. Anyone that wants to go there now would just be a full moon anyway. We might use it to dump crap from our empire on it. But for now, just stare out the spaceship window into space and don't give it the satisfaction of your eyeballs.
You mean I brought up a replacement flag for nothing?
Hand it over. Well, if we're not going to the moon, then where are we going? Mars. Where else in space is there to go for our purposes? It's much better than Earth ever was. Left to you, Dot, you'd probably go to Venus and then burn up in entry. So in a funny way, be executed before your time.
Oh, the moon, I shall never see you again.
Oh, shut up. Or you'll find yourself with the ISA mysteriously doing another mission with explosives to boot, resulting in a kablam for the rest of it just to piss you off.
A few hours later...
Are we there yet? Soon, I'm sure. If you're bored, just go to your room and watch Star Trek or something. But when I do that, I usually dream of one day being in space. It will confuse my boring brain.
How far do you think we are from the Red Planet, sir?
We'll arrive when we get there.
Can we stop? I need a fucking piss, and I don't want it to float back at me.
Well, no, where do you think we're going, Iran? Just sit back and read. And no, Dad, not 2001, A Space Odyssey. I'm sorry, I'll go and watch my sci-fi now.
I still need the toilet.
Well, if you can't wait till Mars, open a small hatch round the back, but don't get sucked out. You'll find a small zip in your spacesuit.
I'm right on it. Space is so boring. I would rather be at home playing games about space than being in space.
There is a PlayStation on board, but Saddam has warned that he might put it in Mars orbit if you are not ready the minute we hit the Red Planet.
Shut up, morons! Call yourselves astronauts. We're about to land. Aren't you awed by it?
No, but now I won't need a space service station for the toilet.
Keep your pants to yourself. Your piss might attract aliens, Vulcan. So piss into your flask. Then we can have a preemptive strike on any life forms we might encounter.
Don't worry, leader. My piss will be the same colour as the planet, as I have been drinking black currant juice.
We're about to land now, leader.
Is this the planet? I thought we'd hit a comet from the asteroid belt.
On Mars, the spaceship lands and the so-called astronauts emerge in suits designed for space.
What the fuck? What is it, sir? Is it something unbelievable? Have you found aliens?
Well, that's the first word on this planet. That's going to hit the papers tomorrow.
It's only my monitor, the one we launched above the Earth to celebrate my 47th birthday. How in the blue hell did it turn up here? I thought I'd never clap eyes on it again.
Are you sure it's the same monitor, sir?
Yes, it's the same fucking monitor, all right. It's even got the Brothers of Stomp's kick marks on it. And I do believe that those are my penknife scrapings that I made when I was carrying it outside ready for launch.
Who are these Brothers of Stomp you keep talking about, might I ask?
Do you really want to know? Just wait until they appear in another episode at random. You'll soon wish you'd met aliens on this here planet instead.
Could it be them that brought the monitor?
The Brothers of Stomp, Hammett. They are too thick as two short planks to make it as astronauts. They couldn't even run a fruit and veg shop. Just before they entered into my employment, I saw them get kicked out of their cauliflower's ears.
Ah, I see you have found our monitor. Were you admiring the graphics? May we have it back?
Who on earth are you? I don't remember seeing you on board our mission. Surely you can't be living here. We are astronauts. We were lost in space.
That was until we found Mars and made it our home ever since.
Now you see, I spent most of this year's defence budget on a trip to this here planet. And this is all I find here, rocks. I was hoping to find some intelligent life forms to be better citizens than the ones I've already got. And then you showed up. Well, now that you are here, you'll have to make do with us.
What are you going to do here?
Yes, you'll do. We will still build a space station, but it will be unmanned, as you will not be allowed to enter. Don't worry, we live in our spacecraft. I might never see you two again, but how did that monitor get here? You're right, you won't. And I wish I could say the same for that monitor. How on earth did it get here anyway? You see, when that monitor originally smashed into our spacecraft and did extensive damage to the front window of the spacecraft, we sent a man to float outside and take a look. Since we've been in space for some years, we never had a monitor this modern, but it's shit. It was black and white. Since it was yours originally, would you like to take it back with you? It is worth a lot to us. But now that you are here, we want you to have it.
No, it was a colour monitor, but the tube's a bit wrecked. So now it's only in black and red as shadows reflect the ground onto the screen.
Well, no, of course I don't want it back. Even a landfill would be ashamed to own one of those. Do you think we weren't serious when we sent it up into orbit in the first place? Do you think it was by fucking accident? But I'll finish the job that I was unable to finish. Vulcan, what have you got in your rucksack?
I have got a rock from the ground.
Those rocks seem heavy. My God, the gravity's good on this planet, isn't it? Even tapping the screen with it made it react like it was hit for six at close range.
Sir, I see aliens over there.
No, Hammett, all you see is your imagination. Well, sir, as you can frankly have this planet, we were going to build a space station here and colonise it. But frankly, having seen how boring this place really is, and how to me we would have more intelligent life forms on the planet Pluto, I'm afraid it's adios from your world leader back on Earth.
So you're saying we wasted the millions and millions of points for this mission, and we've basically done fuck all since coming here? That really pisses me off.
Not your place to say, is it? But anyway, I would have only spent it on arms, even though I've got nowhere left to invade. I just like them. But since we're here, we might as well at least have a shiny new space station. Citizens, I have a proposition to put to you. Where are the other astronauts, Hammett?
They are still on board ship. You chained them together in the lobby, remember?
Vulcan, unshackle the other astronauts and bring them out here.
Very well, Saddam.
Citizens, impromptu astronauts as you are, I have a proposition to put to you. There is a new space station to be built by us mankind for the Iraqi Empire. The choice you're going to have is simple. Do you wish to return with us to Earth as we leave imminently, or stay here in this desolate cold bit of space, where once we leave, you'll never see Earth or your world leader or your home country of Iraq ever again? You will live in a place that gets scorched by day with sun and is like hell frozen over at night with a biting darkness. And all with only yourselves and those two other losers from that spaceship over there for company, until you all die. All in the name of building me a space station. It's your decision on this. I will hand it to you and give you a vote. Really, I can't believe I'm giving them a vote in democracy. It must be the alien influence.
The vote is already in, Saddam.
What does it say?
Well, I don't know, but it is unanimous.
Oh, okay, they've made their decision. Let's not speak another word here, or spend any more time here, or we'll be speaking Martian like they soon will. Let's get out of here.
There is a small matter of leaving. The spaceship needs to be powered up, and we have to have a countdown to leave.
Shove the countdown, Hammett. I have to be back on Earth first thing in the morning to give a speech on what we've been doing here.
Morning is when we get burned by the sun.
Well, you get your wish. We are leaving now.
We must seem like aliens to you, but we're going now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and good luck on your next mission.
There never will be one again. You are amongst the privileged few who will never see my face again. There must be billions on Earth who wish they could be in your place. Quickly now, comrades. We need to pop in on the moon on the way back.
Can I help you put up the flag, Saddam? It'll help bring back memories.
Neil, I just snapped the flag you brought. Didn't that bring back memories?
Well, I guess it kinda did.
I just want to go on the moon and make sure my flag is all right.
Back on Earth?
Where have you been?
In space, Mother. Don't you watch the news?
It wasn't on the news. They mentioned something about a strike in Security Airport. But I'd already read about that in the paper. The workers disappeared.
Well, whatever. We won't be going up again. I'll be back down here on Earth from now on.
Well, just to let you know, I was serious about my threat when you left. I've let the dishes in the sink overflow, and it's caused a flood, which I want you to mop up. You'll have a load of chores in your hands. You can either go to your room or do the dishes, or you can do the dishes and go to your room.
I'll do neither. No, wait. I'll do the dishes.
Be careful with them. And when you've done them, bring them back down. Your bedroom's bad enough as it is. It looks like an explosion in a play factory with all that crap you keep leaving round.
Well, they'll be coming back down all right, but not necessarily in the right order or all together.
I'll put sofas outside to catch the falling crockery.
And...
presented by Good Laugh and Totally Mad.
The Saddam Outtake Special with Good Laugh and Totally Mad.
Some angry businessman begins. Your work for this mission and your scientific credentials for the Empire.
Shit.
It's starting to get a bit shit and cretinous.
Say that again. Say that again.
Till he went and put a cog in it.
Cog in its works.
10, 9, 8. Yes, all right, Dar. Just fucking take off. No, sorry.
Just go. Yes, all right, Dar. Just fucking take off.
Well, Neil, Armstrong. I might leave it in.
Yeah.
Oh, the moon, I shall never see you again.
Oh, shut up.
I like the way you said that. What the fuck?
What the
fuck?
Just go,
what the fuck?
The Saddam Outtake Special with Good Laugh and Totally Mad.
Welcome to Radio Presents, a movie in 60 seconds.
The Jetsons.
Honey, I'm home.
Oh, George, really? I need some money to go shopping, George.
Just a minute, Jane. There's Mr. Spacely on Skype. I'd better not answer with video with you just coming out of the shower, Jane.
Jetson! Get back into my office now! What do you think you are doing going home at clockhead time when there's still work to be done?
I'm coming, boss.
You're like his lapdog, George. Come on, give me the money.
Here you go. $10. Don't take the whole wallet.
See you later, dear. And your tea will cook itself.
What do you think you are doing? You're late.
But I went home at 5 o'clock, sir.
If you didn't leave work and you didn't get home, then you wouldn't be late, would you?
Gee, I'm sorry, Mr. Spacely.
Don't just be sorry. You're fired!
60 Seconds was a Good Laugh production for Popcorn Radio.
Channel 107.
The Late Night Atmospheric Themes Interview. With Lawrence Sherlock about the demise of GeoCities.
Hello, this is AJ, and I'm speaking to somebody who was a GeoCities fan before, long before they announced its closure later this year, 2009, the complete closure of what was once a free web serve, a free homepage-based system. Now, how long is it that you've had a GeoCities page for?
Well, to be honest, I've had one for a long time now. I mean, I can't remember the exact date when I started. It was that long ago. But it was one of the first things I subscribed to when I first got my first PC.
So, in other words, the internet as a whole.
The internet as a whole, yeah. I looked around to see what was available at the time, and there wasn't an awful lot, to be quite honest, because I did start a while ago. But GeoCities seemed to be one of the stronger contenders, along with Yahoo and a few others. I mean, it was all in its infancy when I started.
So when was it that you started, do you think?
Yeah, you've got me. I can't think offhand. I'd have to look on my GeoCities site, to be quite honest, because it does say when you subscribe to it.
Yeah, but it was in the 90s when it was seen to be all the rage because you couldn't get a free website easily. You had to pay for that. And then GeoCities offered this free service, and then there were millions of pages. It was that popular. Everybody seemed to have a GeoCities site.
Well, when I started, I had to pay for web access. I had to pay a subscription every month to... I'm not quite sure who it was now.
But the difference was it wasn't just a subscription. We still pay for our broadband and that, but you're actually paying per minute. You're actually paying for the length of time that you're on the internet back then, in the late 90s or the mid-90s.
Yeah, it was UNET. UNET.net.
UNET.net.
You had to pay for access. And obviously it was modem and very slow, and pictures used to build line by line.
It's amazing to think how much it's come on. See, GeoCities, they offered a free website where you could put your pictures, you could put text, you could design it how you liked, but there was adverts on it, obviously.
Yeah, well, at the time, it was all new and exciting, and I spent many, many hours creating the site. And an awful lot of effort went into it, an awful lot of thought and effort went into it. It's a shame it is now coming to an end.
Some of the reasons why it's coming to an end, perhaps, though, are that they didn't really adapt to modern times because connections started to get faster. We started to be able to get bigger and bigger file sizes. We started having multimedia. We started having high-resolution pictures. We had sound and video were increasingly being hosted, and GeoCities just didn't change at all from just being a basic website place.
It's a surprise, really, because they were big to start with. They were obviously well-funded. And why they didn't develop it beyond anybody else is a mystery to me.
It seems like Yahoo almost neglected it because they took over in 99, and then really it didn't evolve at all after that, the idea of the free web space and all that. But there was an innovative idea about GeoCities when it started, about how they were going to host sites, wasn't there?
Yes, indeed. I used to love the feature where you could browse the streets, lock it in on your neighbours and so forth. That used to be one of my favourite pastimes at one time.
So they were trying to recreate this idea that we're all living in streets and you could literally go outside your site and go down the streets and then look at other people's sites, your neighbours.
Yeah, and in fact, I did contact both my next-door neighbours, as it were, and had conversations with them.
Well, that's amazing, yeah, because it was roughly based there, wasn't it, on different types of sites. Like, I think Silicon Valley was sort of tech sites and Hollywood for entertainment, and they had neighbourhoods like that.
Yes, it did, yeah.
But eventually they just scrapped that system entirely, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, and it was a shame, because I'd still be interested in looking down those avenues now.
I think it could work again, because MySpace, for example, is almost a very similar feeling. Facebook is like groups of networked people. You know, people join groups to affiliate themselves with courses and interests. It's not really a million miles away from what GeoCities innovated back in the 90s.
So, what they could have developed on, you know, I mean, they could have been the forerunners. They could have led the whole thing. Why they didn't, I don't know.
Yeah, if they evolved. Well, now it's finally closing at the end of 2009. It was one of the most popular sites on the web in the late 90s because everybody was hosting. Everybody and their dog had their own site. In fact, pet sites were very common. And in the late 90s, and now in 2009, it's finally closing to make way for MySpace, Facebook, and all that. Well, thanks very much for your thoughts on GeoCities, Laurie Sherlock. Is your page still online now?
It is, yes, yeah.
But last updated in 2005.
Indeed, yeah.
Should I give the address of where we can look at this while we can?
Of course, yes.
As an example, GeoCities site, I think if I can remember, geocities.com/Yosemite, that's a neighbourhood, then Gorge within that, so geocities.com/Yosemite/Gorge, and your house number was 6313, you might have to use listen again.
Oh, yes.
Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
The Late Night Atmospheric Themes Interview. Original sketches and idents are by Adventures in Audio and Axe Productions.